Let's start the racing rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
What a great day's racing around Australia yesterday with the Turnbull Stakes, the highlight at Flemington, three Group 1s at Randwick. Plenty to talk about with Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney in this hour. Good morning to you, Dino.
Good morning, Warren.
What a fantastic day's racing yesterday. We'll touch on the Turnbull Stakes shortly, but what a fantastic training performance, I suppose, or maybe more an equine performance of Incentivise. He's certainly on the up.
Yeah, a bit of everything, wasn't it? I love the style in which he goes about it. He can make his own luck, and yet he absorbs pressure because he just sort of seems to, you know, go into his own little bubble and just relax and get the most out of himself. And as you said, Peter Moody's still learning about him, and for Brett Prebble, the rise and rise of Brett Prebble this spring again, back to where he was before he went to Hong Kong. Amazing what he's achieved in such a short time.
Tongue-in-cheek, I've sent a message to Greg Carpenter, Brendan Delaney, as I welcome you in. Not sure I'll get an answer this hour, but I've just asked him if he had another crack at Incentivise following his wins in the Maccabi Diva. Well, now he did have the Maccabi Diva, but now that he's won the Turnbull, what weight would he give him in the Cups? Not sure if I'll get a response this hour, and it mightn't be an appropriate text, but he looks like he's certainly not handicapped out of the races in the future, Brendan.
No, most definitely not. His win yesterday was that one of a really good horse, and a horse that it sort of knows his trade and can deal with the different circumstances. Dean mentioned in that bubble that some horses can get into. Not too many horses would have coped sitting, you know, a half length to a neck off back on the inside with pressure to the outside and still go on and win the race. I thought it was a tremendous performance yesterday.
Another Group 1 for Brett Prebble. As Dino said, he's dominating the Spring Carnival today. Let's have a listen to Incentivise taking out the Turnbull Stakes.
This is on now. 400 to go. Incentivise kicks on the inside under the whip, and Sir Dragonade together. Very Elegant joining in, and Young Verta is almost making a line of four. Incentivise kicks at the 250 from Young Verta. Very Elegant has to find. Chapada runs on. Incentivise finds, though, at the 100 metres. Three quarters, Young Verta. Incentivise getting tired. Young Verta coming at it, but Incentivise is finding, and Incentivise has won. A new Group 1 star has won it from Young Verta. Chapada, photo fourth, Very Elegant or Explosive Jack.
Bit to unpack here, Dino, and Very Elegant look to be below expectations. Nothing in the stewards report there. Let's talk about Incentivise first of all. What did you make of his win?
Well, it was, tremendous performance for a start, and thanks to daily sectional times, you could tell it was a fast run race, and the first 1200 metres about 11 lengths above standard, so nearly 2 seconds. So they were going at a good gallop, Mount Popper and Incentivise, and it became a race of attrition, and you could see them just dropping off one by one. And that three wide train looked pretty, you know, like while Sir Dragonet was doing it hard, he weakened, but Very Elegant peeled out no sooner that she was beaten. Then it was Young Verta and Chapada, and it was a bit of a last man standing affair, but the one that was standing the most was the horse that was up there all the way. So, all credit to him.
Some discussion, Young Verta, $26 chance, Chapada, $101 chance running the placing. So how do you rationalise that in terms of the depth of this race?
Well, it isn't weight for age, and that was discussed pre-race. So a horse like Young Verta, for running second in two derbies, had a very light weight, and I thought was very well ridden by Daniel Moore, and everything sort of went to plan, probably the way they wanted the race to pan out. And Chapada can bob up. He's been placed in derbies as well, but last year we had Very Elegant just win this race, but beat Toffee Tongue, who was big odds. So that can happen in this race, and I'm not taking anything away from the winner at all.
What about you, Brendan?
Hard to take anything away from him, but then still, you at the back of your mind, it's just that niggling question: what has he beat at about the 200? You thought Daniel Moore's going to win another Group 1 here when Young Verta really loomed at him. But Brett Prebble, you listen to him post race, he's still learning about the horse, as is Peter Moody, but he's got such a belief in him, and he asked him to dig yesterday, and he dug for him. It's hard to not win him for him. He's had two pretty hard runs, the Maccabi and now in the Turnbull, both reasonable pace races, both challenged, both had to really dig deep. How much has that taken out of the tank progressing towards the Caulfield Cup? But looking towards Very Elegant, she was disappointing. If you thought there was one that had the right run, she was it. And then you probably have to give a little bit of extra credit to Chapada and Young Verda. We mentioned pre-race yesterday that when the elite horses step up, they can sometimes make the ground that they can't make in the more restricted races. But two horses that have probably better suited to handicaps have taken some serious ground off the weight for age horses in the likes of Very Elegant there yesterday and Young Verda and Chapada. It's an interesting one. Sir Dragon, you've got to be forgiving of him. He was trying hard, but that run just told, and probably Explosive Jack was doing enough at the back end as well to suggest that he's not going to be too far away when they step out. Winner was good, but are there still some question marks there? Or I don't know. It's a tricky one to try and assess for mine.
Chris Waller on social media put out, and in the stewards report, nothing evident with Very Elegant. They'll report over the next couple of days. How did you mark her, Dean?
Look, essentially she was disappointing because I think she got into a good spot. But then going through her career and looking at all of her runs, there's only five times that she's been above average to the 800 metre mark. And she's only ever won once, and it was when she won the Winx Stakes, and she was only a length above average that day. But some of her unplaced efforts in the George Main last year, 4.4 lengths above standard for the first 800 metres. The Cox Plate, when she was well beaten, she was above standard. The Wakeful, when she was well beaten, she was above standard. And yesterday, for the first 1,200 metres, about 9 lengths above standard. So she's never gone so fast to the average in any race, but especially at 2,000 metres. So I think that if there's a little Achilles heel for Very Elegant, it is a fast run race early, for her to not be able to finish off.
Couple of weeks out from the Caulfield Cup, what are your thoughts on Incentivise for that race now, Dean?
Look, he's obviously a very deserved favourite, and he's very much the one to beat. I'd still love him to have had the weight that he looked like he was going to get, but it probably won't stop him. He's got to get around Caulfield, the big field. I love the way he improved yesterday. I didn't know which way he'd go from that first up run because he had a pretty solid run first up. But he's certainly the one to beat, and where the rivals come from, maybe lighter weighted improving horses, but he's now the established star.
Caulfield Cup thoughts at this stage, Brendan?
Well, he's got to be the starting point in the top of the tree, but there's a lot that can play out in Caulfield Cup's barriers, that run to the first turn, how much pressure there's going to be, stretching to 2,400 in a seriously run race. If he can get an easy lead, they're not going to get anywhere near him, you wouldn't have thought. But Young Verda put his hand up yesterday. Montefilia sat three deep to win the Metropolitan. Nonconformist, Explosive Jack's going to get better once they get up over some more ground. He's a short enough quote for mine, as you'd like going 2 weeks into a Caulfield Cup.
Down the straight for the two-year-olds, the first race of the day at Flemington yesterday, the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes are all on debut.
As they reach the 350, Doc O'Connor, the Wizard King, over on the far side with Cavallo Rampante about a length off those from Rampant Lion. Get in the Spirits over on the grandstand side, but it's all over the place as they reach the 150. Get in the Spirits in front. Get in the Spirit. It won't go straight, but it's up against the outside fence, led from Rampant Lion, Robusto and Laskers, and Get in the Spirit. Get in the queue. One at two lengths. Photo second. Laskers will get that from Rampant Lion or Robusto, followed by...
Terrific call, Maddie Hill. Mightn't have gone straight, but she went fast, Brendan.
She knew where she came out onto the track, that's for sure. When you go back and have a look, she wanted to duck out where the little race is there, where they come out for the sprint races. But she was good, she was fast, she jumped well, she knew what she was there to do. And Damien Lane just rolled with her. Probably a little bit more credit for her. She wasn't guided by any rail. Often we see the babies gravitate towards that inside rail, and there was a few that couldn't make up their minds early on in the piece in this race. But Damien Lane was happy to just let her roll. well. Lascars, who followed her, I thought took some nice ground off late rampant line. I thought it was a nice debut from him. He had trialled up nicely previous. He looks a real professional. Think he'd just be better suited. Maybe round a turn in his first exposure to the straight. Robusto was solid enough. I thought Cannonball had made good progression from his trial at Cranbourne, where he looked like he was really new to his jump out down the straight, to seeing him at the races there yesterday. He got a little bit stirred up pre-race, and then I thought he ran well enough to justify that he's going to be a nice enough horse in the future. Cavallo Rimponde was okay, and Edwin, I'm sure Fred Kersley might have blessed himself just after he came out of the gates. That could have got real nasty the way that horse lurched when the gates opened. But the winner was good, but there's going to be some nice enough horses behind you. I think Lascars was good, Rampant Line, Robusto, Cannonball. You'd think they're all going to progress and be nice enough horses in the future.
For those playing Carl Diorio Racing Trivia Lotto yesterday, Dean, it was a stat regarding pre-Christmas sires, and Spirit of Boom becoming the fourth pre-Christmas sire winner for two-year-olds, along with Outback Barbie, L Trooper and Champagne Boom. So although it might be seen as trivia, it could be proved profitable. He seems to be able to get horses up and running early, Spirit of Boom.
Yep. Stakes winners before Christmas, and I think Carl wanted to knock the stat over early and get into the meeting, so he got that one out of the way after the first.
Yeah, what did you make of the win of Get in the Spirit?
Well, my notes off her jump out was that she's precocious, and we knew that she could run fast for, what was it, 650 at Sandown, 600. And 600, and she'd run half a second quicker than her stablemate that won the Darley Spring Preview last Wednesday week. So you knew she was going to be quick, and Damien Lane was absolutely adamant of where he wanted to be on that straight track. Even more so later on Kemmel Pass, there was a lane he just wanted to be on, and Get in the Spirit didn't want to be on it for about five strides there at about the 200, but ultimately she was too quick. Lascars ran really well, was chasing all the way though. It's a good thing to be directly behind the speed horse down the straight, but you've got to be able to try and keep up. And he chased really, I thought, valiantly, and Rampant Line's a very nice horse. And as Brendan said, Cannonball's the one that's made really good improvement. Looked a little bit ragged behind the barriers, so I think might be enough for now, but he certainly has made improvement every time we've seen him.
What did you make of the way the track played yesterday, Dean?
Look, I certainly think Warren, well, the straight races, they were pretty keen to get Senator outside. And I thought on the circle and speaking with a couple of riders post the meeting, that beyond about five out from the rail was where they had that midweek meeting, and it was just that bit slower. So those trying to make that looping wide run were a little bit disadvantaged, and certainly playing towards the inside was advantageous yesterday.
Your take on the track, Brendan?
Yeah, ditto with Dino's comments there. They just couldn't get into the race from back in the field round the circle. They were running pretty solid sectionals as well, but there was a couple that were able to buck that trend, but not too many were really able to make ground yesterday.
Get in the Spirit, a stakes winner on debut down the straight at Flemington yesterday. Danny O'Brien's team's just moving nicely into the feature races ahead. El Patroness, it confirmed her Oaks credentials, winning race two, the Superimpose, yesterday.
Patroness get going at the 400 metres. A couple character, Euro Dandy. Then Magic Mikey, Tis Magic. Gunstock brought to the middle of the track with still six or seven to make up as El Patroness goes for home. 250 metres to go. Put up two or three lengths on 2-2 car character. Gunstock and Tis Magic running on. El Patroness starting to wobble. 100 metres to go. Still two lengths. Gunstock coming out after her. El Patroness getting weary. Gunstock slowly but surely with Tis Magic. El Patroness will just win. El Patroness from Gunstock, Tis Magic, character four.
Held on, another winner for Brett Prebble, this time for Danny O'Brien. What did you make of this win, Dean?
It was a high-pressure race. This race tends to be every year as they're trying to prove whether they can stay or not. And Tu De Caco had never gone anywhere near that sort of speed early, and he led it at quite a good gallop. But El Patroness was right there with him, and this was sort of starting to set the theme of the day. I thought her win was good, and probably shows that the Oaks are shaping very well. You know, Kapalua Sunset from the O'Brien stable and Barb Raider and a couple of others there that are shaping really nicely. And this filly did a good job, but it was quite telling in the post-race interview, Warren, that Brett Prebble just at the end just slipped in that this wouldn't get near the stablemate. So we know where his allegiances are come Oaks time. Tis Magic, good honest run, and given the way the day panned out, I think Gunstock's run was pretty good because he had to make that ground out wider. And when you watch a replay, about the 900, he completely dropped the bit. So, as I mentioned in the post-race with Brendan yesterday, wouldn't be surprised if winkers or blinkers are applied if he's going on deeper into the preparation.
He almost overdid it when he was restrained a little bit, wasn't he? He clocked off. And Rhino would be pleased to hear you talk that, Dino. A regular contributor via SMS is Rhino. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm on Gunstock at 60s in the Derby and Montefilia at 40s in the Caulfield Cup. I know you've got a good affinity with Montefilia, Dino. What chances are you giving them in their respective races, Dean?
Oh, I wouldn't mind having either ticket. Gunstock's near enough to favourite for the Derby now. Montefilia's into about $14 for the Caulfield Cup. So I'd be thinking that Rhino's got a couple of really nice tickets there.
Your thoughts, Brendan?
Yeah, be more than happy to have them sitting in the wallet somewhere, a couple of those. But Al Patriot, she was really good there yesterday, rode the pressure and was able to kick on the end. Tis Magic, I thought, did a good job off that midfield sort of sit to really close it off nicely. Gunstock Dino's touched on him, the way the day's panned out. The run probably deserves more credit than you get. He just got a little bit tired late, but you think that's going to hold him in good stead heading forward. Didn't mind the run of Tutu Carter. You'd think he's going to improve off that 14-18, really solid tempo. He didn't give it away at the end. They got away from him. He was entitled to get a bit tired with the work that he did throughout that run. Whether or not he goes Derby path or something like that, maybe he could even progress to a race like the Geelong Classic and get a soft lead in front. You'd think he's going to be mighty hard to hold out if he can get up on the pace and relax a little bit better, not have that pressure to the outside when he steps up again.
Three-year-old fillies up to 1,600 metres, 1,610. We've got a question about the distances yesterday. I'll get to that shortly. Elusive Express was an easing favourite for Anthony and Sam Friedman with Jai McNeil aboard.
Lua down the outer, Adalamore quickened at the 300 metres, led Yearning the fence. Elusive Express now having its shot, and then Glint of Hope the outside. Yearning at the clock tower, drove up on the inside. Elusive Express about a half length away. Yearning and Elusive Express, who moves up boldly. Elusive Express up to Yearning. Elusive Express goes to the front and won the Edward Manifold, a half length Yearning. Glint of Hope third from Stalking, Adalamore then Daisies.
Jono from Merboo's the text, Dino, regarding distances. He was on Pride of Jenny yesterday, and he reckons the 1,410 metres cost him. He wishes it was 1,400 metres and wondering why the distances were slightly different yesterday.
Yeah, well, the rail was out, but the rail's out traditionally at this meeting, and sometimes it has been those unusual distances. I think it's probably something we need to check with Liam O'Keefe. He'd have the definitive answer, but, I tend to agree with our text messenger there about Pride of Jenny. That last 10 metres was very costly, but with regard to Elusive Express, it didn't really matter. She was in the absolute A spot from the get go. They announced going to ride her closer. It was just a nice even speed provided by Adalamore, and Elusive Express was in a lovely spot. But there was a crucial moment at about the 400 when Glinda Hope just wandered probably half to three quarters of a horse off her line, and Jai McNeil pounced and just put her straight into the gap, and from there she was going to go on and win the race. Yearning ran well back to the inside. I think Glinda Hope's a nice filly. She's still learning and couldn't really miss the efforts of Stalking and Daisies. They closed in some of the better late sections of the day, running fourth and sixth respectively.
Is this more a guide to perhaps the ethereal Wakeful and Oaks rather than the 1,000 Guineas, Dean?
I think so, I think Elusive Express is going well. Whether she's quite at that 1,000 Guineas level or they just stay the path towards the ethereal and the Wakeful, which she's going to be highly competitive. But you see a 40-1 winner of the Flight Stakes and the lead-up to the Guineas here, the 1,000 Guineas, Queen of Dubai won at big odds, and Kevin Corson's as filly won at big odds. It's a little bit up for grabs, so I wouldn't be afraid to think that Elusive Express would run a good race in the Guineas.
Your take on this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Elusive Express. First two really had nice runs and really suitable runs in the way that the track played throughout the day. Elusive Express, three back the fence, was able to come off, and as Dean mentioned, with Glint of Hope there just easing out on the turn, Elusive Express able to get through. Yearning got the run along the inside. First two fillies were good across the line. Glint of Hope just ground out that last 400 metres after she wobbled on the turn, but Hard to Miss Stalking hadn't raced since the 7th of August after a winter campaign. Little Freshen Up back, she was really good through the line yesterday, and Daisies had to make that a little bit more of a looping run, which was pretty hard to do, and she's closed off strongly at the back end. But the race set up nicely for Elusive Express or Yearning, either of the fillies, to win it. And Elusive Express, she's having a pretty good preparation. She struck that really heavy track at Bendigo, didn't have a lot go away behind Bonza Perla at Caulfield, and then she got everything to suit her yesterday.
Small but quality field going down the straight in the Gilgai, race four at Flemington yesterday.
As they reach the 450, it's Kemal Passer has controlled it so far from Splintex. A length and a half away, Volpine Zutori away game, and then came Bonza Broad and Kemantari waited with 250 out. Kemal Passer grabbed by Splintex over on the far side. Zutori and Kemantari from last is running on. It's going to be a great finish again at the 100 metres. It's Kemal Passer, Zutori and Kemantari with Splintex. Four of them. Kemantari just in front. Kemantari has just won it from Zutori. Kemal passes Splintex and a great drive to the line. A gap in the field then to Bonza Broad, Ruby Street.
Damien Oliver lifting Kemantari, Dina. I think he's just now just screaming for fun just to try and get on the audio coverage.
Yeah, well, and he doesn't have any problem with it. I don't even think we need effects mics to pick that one up. He really, Kemantari had never experienced anything like it, I don't think. He got up to win on the line. It was a beautiful race structure for Kemantari. That Kemal Passer and Volpine led at a pretty even speed the first 400, but then they actually backed it off in the middle stages, and I think Kemal passes better when he ramps it up a little bit in the middle stages. And what it did is it allowed Kemantari to travel for longer and then use that. We know he's got a brilliant, I think Brendan described it as about 150-metre burst yesterday, and that's exactly what it was. He was peaking on the line, but he'd done enough to win.
Kevin Corson's told Ken King that there wasn't much between Bonza Broad and Ruby Street. He was pretty right, though.
Yes, he was. Not much at all. They ran fifth and sixth, and they're ticking over well for mayor's races. A little bit easier than this, but certainly Zutori's going well. He's going to be in the big league in something like the Daly Sprint, but he's going well. Kemal Passer, will he try and win the Tab Stakes on Melbourne Cup Day for the third consecutive year at Group 2 level? That'll be probably his challenge, and Splintex is proving very competent down the straight, and maybe that's his next objective as well.
How do you see the Gilgai, Brendan?
Well, fans of Zutori might have wanted this one to be 1,210 metres like the rest of them, yes, because I think he was coming back again on the line. Ollie pretty much just bullied Kemantari into it by screaming at him. And it was probably not the loudest, from reports on course, the loudest he's been, Ollie, but it wasn't quite as loud without the effects mic yesterday. But it was a trick with Kemantari, and it worked for him. Might work one more time throughout the spring, who knows? But it set up nicely for him yesterday. He's got that 150-metre dash, and he timed it to perfection there, Ollie Zutori. Just such a good racehorse, such a good straight horse. He wasn't going to be denied there yesterday. He was coming back at him on the line and through the line. Kemal Pass, a good Splintex runs, another honest race down the straight. And going to be interesting, the wash-up from away game. That just wasn't her there yesterday. You would think she'd quicken away from that, but not her day there yesterday. But Kemantari and the Ollie screaming trick might be one we have to add to the gear changes a little bit later on down the track.
Kieran Maher in the Stewards report regarding away game, Brendan, reported that the mayor had pulled up satisfactory but will undergo a veterinary examination in the next few days, and he'll report back. And Brendan, on the subject of tickets in the pocket, Kingy's chimed in via the SMS. He's got a ticket on Cuban Link in the 1,000 guineas at 101.26. Would you like that in your pocket as well?
Wouldn't mind it. I'll take anything at around those prices when they start shortening up. But no, good luck to them. It's a race that's really blown wide open after what we've seen at Sandown last week.
Would you like that ticket somewhere in your pocket, Dean?
Well, she beat the Bales, and we've only had one exposure to that form so far. Get on the Gas, and I thought he ran well on Friday night. So, yeah, I think she'll start probably under 20-1 in the guineas. So well under, probably, and so it's a good ticket.
Dane Hill Stakes down the straight for the three-year-olds over 1,100 metres. James Cummings had a two-pronged attack.
Hand with four to pick up over towards the middle of the track and then ingratiating. Kalos at the 250, led by a length to Mornington Glory, Bruckner, Lloyd's Crown, and then came General Bow. Kalos with 150 metres to go, led from Bruckner and General Bow. Kalos is darting away. Kalos for Fred Kersley in a boil over, won it from General Bow or Bruckner. There's a wall of them there for fourth, Lloyd's Crown.
Money came for the stablemate ingratiating, Brendan, but it was Fred Kersley aboard Kalos taking it out for James Cummings. Your thoughts on the Dane Hill?
Yeah, it wasn't ingratiating's day there yesterday, but on the winner, Kalos, Freddie Kersley jumped him out, put him up on the speed, didn't go hard, had plenty left to kick with at the back end, and he was able to kick and kick well. General Bow runs his usual honest race back. He likes it. We've seen his good run from the back of the field when they rolled a little bit last time. Just didn't really suit him there yesterday, but he still does his honest job. I thought Bruckner closed it off well. Gimme Parr didn't have the greatest of room. She was cluttered up most of the way. Had she had some room from the 400, she might have wound through her gears a little bit quicker and given herself a chance, but it wasn't to be. And then Ranch Hand back, tempo wasn't there for him. He went back to the inside off the inside of the pack, not a great place as we've seen to make ground, and he was a little disappointing. And then you go to, well, Forbes just lost the plot a little bit there yesterday. He looked really awkward coming down the straight and ingratiating. Probably the writing was there on the wall that it wasn't going to be his day when he was really awkward out of the gates. He almost just bunny hopped in the air and lost all momentum that he could have got from the start. And he had Mighty Hercules to his inside, giving him a little bit of a clatter. And if it wasn't his day, maybe he just decided that he'd had enough by that stage. But with the blinkers on, we were expecting a little bit more from him. But a good ride on the stable mate there from Freddie Kersley, controlled it up the front and made sure he had plenty left. But I'm sure probably something's going to show up in the wash-up in the next couple of days with ingratiating.
And the stable will report back. He'll undergo a veterinary examination. And we've got one via SMS, Dino, and it's interesting because you're reading the steward's report. Danny from Muraduk, thanks for your contribution. Ingratiating, Dawn Patrol and Shiraz were all noticed as being fractious in the tie-up stalls and performed below expectations yesterday. And Danny's wondering whether that should be something that's even communicated on the day rather than post the meeting in the steward's report, Dean.
Well, he was examined, but, you know, in that, you know, I mean, you can be fractious, but nothing happens. But I think he was actually examined, Warren, if I'm correct, in the steward's report.
Yeah, he was passed suitable to race after being examined, being fractious in the tie-up stalls. So he was slow.
He just
to begin
had a bad day.
Disappointing. He has had a bad day, and he probably wasn't in the mood to play from an early point in time.
Yeah, he was. He raced. He began poorly, and then sort of didn't muster like he can. Then he had his head high, and and so out of character. And the thing is that all the form ties in. Now you can tie, even the winner had run well to General Bow as a two-year-old in the Blue Diamond series, Kalos. So Gimme Parr ties in with ingratiating. They've all run probably around where they could. Ranch Hand a little bit below form, but ingratiating way below form. So yeah, there's got to be something to come out of that. But Gimme Parr's the one that I'd be very forgiving. I think heard from Peter Moody earlier. I thought for a small filly, she's got a massive action and it just looked a bit compromised there when she needed to really accelerate. And I'd be having a go at the Coolmore with her. She's about the only filly I would. Last year, I thought the fillies would dominate with September Run winning the corresponding race to this on the same day. But I think Gimme Parr's still in the mix come Coolmore Day.
One of the more emotional wins of the day was for Luke Curry riding Still a Star for Bill Ryan.
Two lengths ecumenical, the inside from Best Stone, and then Still a Star, Bonvicini. A lot of these favoured ones are a long way back. Instant Celebrity with six to make up with Mystic Journey. It's Pride of Jenny at the 300 metres with Anna Visto chiselling away three quarters of a length off. Best Stone and Still a Star down the middle of the track, and Mystic Journey runs on. Pride of Jenny getting tired. 100 metres to go. Still a Star coming out after it. Pride of Jenny, Still a Star drives Mystic Journey late. They hit it. Still a Star, I think. Still a Star or Pride of Jenny in a photo from Mystic Journey, and then came Best Stone Anna Vista.
Well, Dino, you and I have both managed Luke Curry as a rider at different stages of his and our career, and he commented post-race it's probably the most satisfying emotionally that he's ever had, so it means a lot to Luke.
Certainly does. Billy Ryan being his godfather, and with Stella Star, what a journey she's taking them on, and she's just so reliable and what she's got. Yesterday, I thought, a bit of an awkward draw, second up, you know, the way the day was panning out, but she's got such a great barrier technique that she was able to get into a reasonably good spot and then just tough it out to the end, and that's exactly what she did. I think the truck with the Tasmanian mares would have gone home pretty happy, because Mystic Journey ran the best 800, 600, 400, 200 of the meeting, probably where you didn't want to be on the track. So she's absolutely airborne, and they're going to be big players in the Empire Rose. Pride of Jenny, that's her. She's got her freewheel along. She was massive odds yesterday, but she got her own way, and that's when she can run along and run a cheeky race, and she did run very well. There's a few, there's quite a few forgives in this race, and they're probably ones that are going to be better over further later on, the likes of Tokarangi, Princess Jenny, and even Paradis. They did a lot of work from the 800 to the 400 to try and get into the race, but the way the day was panning out, they had no hope.
Stewart's report has Shake being held up, Dean. I know you were giving her a chance at odds. How did you mark her yesterday?
Yeah, she's just becoming frustrating, Shake. There's not much goes right for her. Like, she was good at Crawford. She was solid again yesterday. It was just, she was just building at the right time, and she just, you could just see that visibly lose momentum at a crucial stage. And I think it's probably cost her finishing, you know, near with Mystic Journey. So she's run well again. Ana Visto rode that speed. That was a lot higher pressure than Ana Visto had been running at, and maybe just exposed a little bit late. And Instant Celebrity, I just don't know if I don't know where she's at. I don't know if she's maybe a better run on 1200 metre horse, even though we've seen her effective at 14 and 16 as a 3-year-old filly. Against these older, more seasoned mares, she might be a better run on sprinter.
Yeah, her celebrity status is fading slightly. She's gone from an A grader to perhaps a B lister. In the Stewards report, Ana Visto was a bit flat, according to John Allen. Dino outlining that the tempo was a lot hotter than last time. Your thoughts on this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Instant Celebrity. Dino had a question there for Dean, and he's answered it before I even got to ask it. So I think she might be better suited coming back to the short courses and really using that acceleration that she's got, the power over the top. But Stella Star got into a nice spot the way the day panned out, probably the spot you'd like to be. Not too far back, but still in touch with the leaders. They went along at a solid gallop. Pride of Jenny, really brave in front. Led for a long, long way at a fast gallop, and was just grabbed late. Mystic Journey, Dean's outline her. She's flying. That wasn't where you wanted to be at all there yesterday. Out wide, making that long looping run out over the centre of the track, and she just ran through the line at a rate of knots. She's really trucking along nicely, and a step up in trip. She's going to be one of the major players, you would think, come the Empire Rose. Bestone was good. Ana Visto, that's a bit of a tick for me for her, because as Dino touched on, that's a lot higher pressure than she's ever seen sort of before, and when she's at her best, they sort of cruise along and then kick. I thought she toughed it out pretty well. Equimenical, a little disappointing. I thought she had a nice enough run to play it out, but she couldn't quicken off that slow tempo. Shake has been mentioned. She didn't have a great deal of luck there. And thought Odium was okay through the line. Yeah. She was in that back cluster out where you didn't want to be. I thought she, her last 50 or 60 metres, maybe last 100 metres, was sound enough work to suggest that she's going along okay. But all honours to Stella Star and a commendable performance to Pride of Jenny going along at that solid gallop.
Just under half an hour before you take over with Sunday Central, Brendan, we've got a couple of texts from listeners just wondering if you boys have had a look at the form in the ARC. So if you get a chance, come up with an ARC tip by the time I sign off in about 25 minutes or
Carl
so.
Carl Diorio, if you're listening, please text us something.
We need your help, Carl. And also one via the SMS, Dean. Lloyd's Crown, could he drop back in grade and get a win following that run down the straight yesterday?
He's deep into a prep. He's going really well. I would think, yeah, just a subtle drop in grade. If he's got another good run in him, he could certainly win, because he's a talent. There's no doubt he's held his own well, but without looking like a winner.
Plenty of love for you via the SMS for Grand Promenade, Dino. Some people were listening a couple of weeks ago when you highlighted him, and they were not asleep at the wheel. They were able to get good odds in the Bart Cummings.
Pondus at the 500 metres. Look to have a kick from Knight's Order. Grand Promenade into the clear. Trelero's the outer. Then a maid, Salino. And back behind them, Shiraz. Pondus at the 300, joined by Grand Promenade. Grand Promenade up to Pondus. And they're toe-to-toe with Grand Promenade, putting a length up on Pondus. Three lengths, Trelero, Salino, Master of Wine. Grand Promenade with 150 metres to go. Can it see it through? Led two lengths, Pondus, Trelero's Master of Wine. Grand Promenade, it's getting weary, but it's going to be here on the big Tuesday. Grand Promenade, one a length and a quarter. Trelero's kept coming, and Master of Wine third from Salino.
Well, Brendan, I think that's the way the race shaped up in that dream that Tino had going back some two and a bit weeks ago.
Yeah, most certainly. You knew from a long way out that there was only probably three or four winning chances, and that quickly developed into two coming towards the turn. It was as steady a race as we've seen run over the Flemington 2500 for some time. Pondus went out at a good gallop. There was none of these the 13, 13 and a half sort of sectionals that we see some of these horses throw out on the lead every now and then throughout the season. It was a solid gallop. Grand Promenade right there, rode it the whole way. And he probably got there a bit soon and had a little bit to think about it, but he was really good through the line, and he's more than earned his spot there on Melbourne Cup Day. I thought Charlie Rose was super. She got across from that wide gate pretty comfortably, I thought. I didn't think she had to do too much work to get over, but then the back end of a solidly run 2500, that probably didn't play into her hands. I thought she's done a creditable job there. Master of Wine has got through the line nicely back to the inside. Selena was good. Realm of Flowers was a huge performance in a race where at the 1200 metres you thought there's nothing from the first five that's going to get anywhere near them. She was just about last, if not last. She's made the circling run out on the track where you don't want to be and charged through the line. She's going along wonderfully towards the Melbourne Cup. Thought The Good Fight did a good job, and Mosh Music came through the pack, just peaked out a little bit later. Thought was a sound enough chase as well. But Grand Promenade's been ticking over well. He's been aimed up at this. He's ticked the first half of the operation. He's got himself into the cup, and you would think if he can find himself a spot with a good draw up close to the speed, he's going to be a long way. He's going to be in there for a long way. Similar sort of circumstances to maybe when Persan ran in there, filled his spot in the cup last year. He's not going to be too far away if he can find his right spot.
Dean, you're close to the camp with Grand Promenade. What did you make of his win yesterday?
It was very good, Warren. He's been building and learning all the way through, and that's, you know, culminated yesterday with him able to ride that fast speed as he did at Moonee Valley a couple of runs back. That's something he's learned over time, that, you know, he can really toughen up, and he's been very good right the way through. And I just think this golden ticket system, this is the third year that we've had it with the Andrew Ramsden and then the Bart Cummings into the Melbourne Cup. And we saw Surprise Baby just missed a Steel Prince 2 years ago and then win the Bart Cummings on his way in. And Grand Promenade was no match for Realm of Flowers and the Andrew Ramsden at level weights. But yesterday in the handicap, he's got his way in. So I think the system is working really well. And both horses that have got the golden tickets in, Grand Promenade and Realm of Flowers, ran beautifully yesterday. They're ticking over well to run well on the first Tuesday in November.
And Realm of Flowers is probably a good example, Dino, of a horse that's got the ticket into the Melbourne Cup, and working backwards from that as the goal, she could be ridden patiently, ridden to win if the circumstances were permitting, but that didn't have to bust a gut yesterday.
Yeah, and I think had she drawn a decent gate, you'd have seen her a lot closer. She drew wide, had to go back and ran very well. And now she's well set up to make that launch at the Melbourne Cup, as is Grand Promenade, because he's a horse that does put a lot into his racing, so he likes his races space. So it's good that he doesn't have to have another run to try and qualify. So he's now got 31 days from yesterday to aim up and be at his best again.
Couple via the SMS regarding some Godolphin runners that I'll announce sometime soon their Everest spot. We don't know the answer to that, but we'll try and find out. Our producer Jackson Franz might get in touch with James Cummings or the stable and try and find out how Colette has come through that incident with the foot abscess and whether she's still on track to head to the Caulfield Cup. So we'll try and get an answer for that sometime this morning regarding Colette, because that is important for Caulfield Cup betting. Into the Melbourne Cup goes Grand Promenade yesterday following that win. We get to the last. Just a Canter was backing up having its second run for Paddy Payne.
Mystery shot down the outside, and then Mr. Tipler and Just Folk running on below the 300 metres. More Varda up to Serious Suspect. Azar is right there coming on. Mystery shot a length off those with Galwa and Just Folk the outside. It's still More Varda with about 100 metres to go. Just a Canter is getting through. Just a Canter drives up, takes the lead, and Just a Canter is going to come away and win it from Just Folk, Mystery Shot and Tavidance. More Varda and Azar behind those, and then Crosshaven.
Well, the horse out of the handicaps, Just Folk, you were giving a chance to, Dean. He ran out of his skin, and Just a Canter just proved a little bit too strong. Late, your thoughts on the last?
Yeah, he ran pretty well last week, Warren, Just a Canter, and it was a good effort to get through. Dean Yendall being patient and really dashed through late, and I think that's the key to this horse at the end of 1,400 metres, and I think he was a very cheap online buy at Gavel House not that long ago, Just a Canter, so well done to those connections, getting a good prize. Just Folk ran really well. Mystery Shot with the blinkers back on was sound. Tavvy Dance okay. These horses that run in stakes races over 1,400 are incredibly well catered for in the next 4 weeks. We've got the I think the Weekend Hustler next week, and then the Moonga the week after, and then there's one Melbourne Cup week, so there's plenty of options for these horses going forward, and even the ones like Tavvy Dance to get over longer trips. So even sort of race, the winner, I thought the ride being held up for that last run certainly won at the race.
Another one via the SMS. There's nothing in the stewards report. We're not aware of anything with Shiraz, who was well supported in the Bart Cummings, but there might be some news to come from the stable in the weeks ahead there, but can't add anything there. You got anything to say about Shiraz, Dean?
Just going to say, Warren, that he's another one that came through that the Mickleham quarantine, as a few of the Macedon Lodge horses have, and probably with the exception of Pondus, who I thought ran well yesterday, riding a fast speed and battling on well. The others have been, Cormorant, Dawn Patrol and Shiraz so far haven't really hit the mark. So whether that break in their preparations has been a little bit, costly to their fitness, only time will tell. But certainly Pondus ran okay yesterday of that system, but Shiraz was well below form.
And that may be the reason for the note. There's a couple of questions via the SMS that they were examined by the stewards arriving on course, just coming through a different facility, although we have seen that Dawn Patrol have a run. But that could be the explanation there. How did you see the last, Brendan?
Just a Canter. Not very often when you're on the three wide line, you get stuck for traffic at the top of the straight, but that's the circumstances Dean Yendall found himself in, and he's made nice improvement. This horse, he was pretty ordinary in the Chautauqua over 1400 at Moonee Valley. Went to the trials, went to Sandown, quick back up, and they've worked him out. He was really strong yesterday. Just Folk might have, that extra 10 metres might have played to his detriment yesterday as well. He just hit the wall with about 50 metres to go in his chase. Thought he was good. Mystery Shot, they've tinkered around with him. Not the horse we thought he was probably going to be, but I thought he did enough there yesterday. Tavvy Dance could have got done with some room earlier. Asar had the right run close to that tempo, couldn't go on and win, and Crosshaven didn't have the greatest of luck, but might be clutching at straws trying to find excuses for them. But Just a Canter, good Just Folk. He's ticking along beautifully to pick up a race shortly, and Mystery Shot, who knows, maybe he mightn't be too far off the mark after going back to the jump outs and the blinkers going back on, trying to reinvigorate his form.
Incentivise, the star of the show at Flemington yesterday. Three Group 1s at Randwick. Plenty to talk about there after this break.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Turn. Ashman in front from the favourite Riadini, then Harmony Rose. A Tissue Locked Up from Discharge. Dallas Ann's pulling out together with Lion's Roar. Aramea's looking for room. Mawunga's getting to the outside with Hungry Heart and Private Eye the deepest. McDonald takes Dallas Ann to the front. Aramea's got the run now. Aramea went to the front. Here's Private Eye right down the outside. Aramea, Dallas Ann and Private Eye. Private Eye swamping them. Regan Bayless punches it out and Private Eye won the Epsom. From either Aramea or Dallas Anna. Then came Cascadian.
Big day for Regan with two Group 1s at Randwick yesterday. And Private Eye was a real old-style Randwick mile handicap, Dean, wasn't it?
It was, Warren, because the speed was on. Those with light weights took those opportunities. And whilst he settled a long way back and it was a bit of a race of attrition, his last 200 was just outstanding. He ran home at 11.04, fourth best of the meeting at the end of 1600 and on a high pressure. So All honours to Private Eye. Aramayo, very brave. Dallas Ann, he just thought at about the 150, this might be his day. He got through. He had a beautiful run for James McDonald, and I thought he was going to get his Group 1. Cascadian, Mawunga, the Group 1 winners at a mile at Randwick. They've both run well. But as you said, real old-style mile race and right across the track, and ultimately Private Eye was the one with the big finishing burst.
I know you're a big fan of the late, great Guy Walter. At Defier One's your Twitter handle. Great to listen to Jamie talk about the journey with Private Eye. And it's certainly a Walter way of speaking, isn't there, Dean?
Yes, it certainly is. And the way they explain things and the deliberate manner, it was certainly took me back in time to the great man listening to Jamie talk about Private Eye. And he's had, you know, he modestly said he's bought a lot of slow ones, but he's bought a lot of very nice horses, but probably none more so than this fellow.
And he talked about not knowing when Private Eye is going to stop improving. Where do you think he might end up?
Don't know, but he's been, you know, just looking to get onto the big track like he did at Randwick yesterday, and it was a, you know, terrific preparation by Joe Pride to have him spot on. And then, you know, with the eye towards the Golden Eagle, and knowing that the Golden Eagle winners so far have come through the Epsom, it's a good formula with Colding and winning it in the original year and Colette. So I think Private Eye's, you know, a legitimate chance in that race, and that's the big payday. They got the Group 1 yesterday, but the big payday still might be ahead of them.
How'd you see the Epsom, Brendan?
Ironically, on a day where we run the Superimpose at Flemington, it was very much a Superimpose win at the Randwick Mile for Private Eye there yesterday. Old Super would have been proud of that one. He was super there, Private Eye. Back speed was on and just sustained. He ran away from some horses with good finishes. Aramayo has done a good job. He ran into Zaki after coming off a winter championship preparation. He just missed there yesterday, but he continues to improve coming back to Australia. Dallas M. May. Maybe just getting caught in that early bustle might have just been a little bit costly for him in the last 150 metres or so, but I thought he's done a credible job. But hard to take anything away from Private Eye with that big sweeping run.
Hugh Bayman was trying to bring up his 100th Group 1 yesterday. He rode Montefilia in the Metropolitan.
Come up the rise now. It's Hush Rider, Spirit Ridge and Entente. Now Modophilia, no compromise, balancing up again with Great House. She's Ideals the deepest. It's Entente and Modophilia. Modophilia put the head in front from Entente. Modophilia from Entente. Modophilia, Entente. Bob of the Hedge going down to the wire, and it's desperately close in the Metropolitan. Nothing between Modophilia and Entente. Really could go either way there. A good gap back to in third position. Position, I think Harpo marks.
Heard plenty of Ollie screaming at Flemington. I thought I could hear Dino screaming from his home, Brendan, watching the Metropolitan yesterday.
Well, he wasn't the only one. She didn't have anything, a lot go away. She was caught deep out of the straight, had to cover ground three wide, and had to get past a horse that's really tough and holding his form. And Entente, I thought she more than earned her stripes there yesterday. Entente on the week back up again. He was so brave and so tough, as the Waterhouse bot horses are. But Montefilia just got the upper hand from him. I thought that was a really outstanding win from the mare yesterday. She had been tracking towards this race throughout her two runs leading into it, and you would think next time at 1400 metres she might be able to mix it, 2400 metres, I beg your pardon, she might be able to mix it with Incentivise, but I thought she was really good on Entente, so brave. She's Ideal was okay later, and Harpo Max I thought was pretty solid, but she had been tracking like she was going to be spot on come Metropolitan Day, and she just got the head down at the right time.
How'd you see it, Dane?
Yeah, the interesting part of the race was probably mid-race when Dashing Willoughby took off on the three wide line, and Entente got going. Montefilia was out there, so that three wide train actually then really played a big part in the race, and Montefilia's got Entente on the line. Harpo Marx followed his progress right through winter and into the spring, and Bjorn Baker's been saying for a long time that the Metropolitan would be a really good race for him, and he wasn't far off the mark. And Zarek, I just thought it was in limited room at certain stages, still found the line well. So I don't think 2,400 metres is the end of his distance range. He can probably even run further, so I didn't mind his run at all. But, I'm a real fan of Montefilia. I think circumstances have been totally against her when she's been tried over the longer trips. And even yesterday, she was only third up, so there's probably more to come.
You could say Harpo Mark's been a quiet achiever, Dean.
Yeah, it's been very silent.
Montefilia, Caulfield Cup, how do you line her up?
Hard to know. I think Incentivize at this stage, you'd think, you know, certainly got a fair edge, but she's going to get in with a, you know, a very respectable weight. She's had the run at a mile and a half. She's got to handle Caulfield, but look, I think she's a probably a top four or five contender, and maybe higher come, you know, as Brendan said earlier, when the barrier draws and how the race structures up. You know, I think Lisi's now had the three runs, and as I said, I think she can probably elevate off that run yesterday.
Great day for Regan Bayliss and a terrific day for Waikato Start and their new stallion Tavachi with his first Group 1 in the Flight Stakes.
For home, the run home leads by a length on four moves ahead as the pace really quickens here. Then Never Been Kissed from Stray Latino Blend Mallory, not going well. Back towards the inside, Hinged and Chiller making some ground. It's Swift Witness at the 200. Two lengths clear from Never Been Kissed is producing a very good finish. Never Been Kissed lays it down to Swift Witness. Star Tonto's late and Hinged along the rails, but Never Been Kissed in front from Hinged and Never Been Kissed puckers up for the photo and the Flight Stakes. One and a half length to the fast finishing Hinged. Star Tonto's third.
Darren Flindell working beautifully there. Dean, your thoughts on the Flight Stakes?
Yeah, again, run at a good speed. Obviously, grand final day for a lot of these fillies and Swift Witness. There was always going to be a query at the mile, but was a typical Waterhouse bot, was never going to die wondering and rolled along at a good speed. And the stablemate Never Been Kissed, as you said, Tavachi's off to an absolute flyer as a stallion and Group 1 winner here. At he's just getting winners everywhere. So he's the hot stallion, I think, coming through. And Never Been Kissed was able to nab Hinged right on the line. Star Tonto's on the backup from last week. Still found the line really well again. So it was another very good run. I think if any of the top three fillies came down for the 1,000 guineas, they're going to be right in the finish. So, this was probably the highest rating fillies race we've seen of this group. So, I'm trusting the form to a degree. Even though it was a long odds winner, I'm trusting the strength and the pressure of this race.
Your take, Brendan?
Thought she was really good, Never Been Kissed. She found a good spot, just took a little bit to hit top gear, but once she got there, she was really good. Once she got herself balanced up, you would think she could come down here and play a part in Melbourne. Hinged, I thought, finished really strongly up the fence, was a good effort, and Star Tonto's just continues to race well. But going to be interesting to see with Never Been Kissed. She's had now four runs this preparation, a first racing preparation. You would think if she can hold it together for one more, she'd be a player at Caulfield.
Outside the Group 1s, one of the highlight performances at Randwick yesterday was the Get Back Storm Home performance of Masked Crusader in the Premier Stakes.
Standard up the fence, then came Lost and Running. Further back to Embracer. I Am Superman to the outside. Now Masked Crusader's being ridden up, but there's nowhere to go on Masked Crusader. He has to duck and weave. I think he's found a gap now. Standout went to the front. Masked Crusader's charging through the centre. Masked Crusader from last. A miraculous get out of jail. Masked Crusader beats Standout. Embracer third, then Lost and Running. I Am.
Well, we've seen it before, Brendan. What did you make of his win yesterday?
Gee, if you're on, you would have been covering your eyes multiple times in running. He was back, the speed was on, and you thought Tommy Berry's just going to come to the outside, but he elected to go between them. He had to duck, dive and wait, but we know what sort of finish he's got. We've seen it at Caulfield, and it was electrifying when he did get through it and really let go. Super performance, standout, probably stiff, not to be the winner of the race. Embrace are good, but it's hard to stop a horse with a finishing power like Masked Crusader's got when he can get enough time to wind up and be close enough.
Reports coming through that Rothfire is out of the Everest. I haven't got that confirmed yet, but he doesn't seem to be in the market that I'm looking at. Dean, your take on the performance yesterday of Masked Crusader?
Look, it was a terrific win, visually spectacular. I don't like the habit of him getting slower and slower out of the barriers, and that's going to make it harder and harder against the opposition in a couple of weeks' time. But it was a visually spectacular win. When he wins, he usually runs home in the best sectionals of the day. He didn't yesterday, but it was good enough to win, and it was a good performance. Be fascinated how this race structures up. We know with, you know, Nature Strip Eduardo in the race, is a horse like the Inferno the little sleeper in the field, and the one that just has been waiting in the wings is Classic Legend. Is he just there to swoop on them again and win it again? So look, it's going to be a great race, and how they promote it's magnificent, and Masked Crusader's in the blend, in the mix. I just don't like that habit of him getting slower and slower out of the barriers.
approaching 10 o'clock, so won't listen to the replays of the juvenile races, Dino, but on the clock, Coolangatta was very impressive. How did you see her debut?
Yeah, if you wanted to line her up, and the track played at a similar speed to last year, she was about a length better than Enthaha, but a much more controlled gallop and a much more stronger finish. So, you know, a really lovely debut, and I think she's got a nice future. I think the second filly in that race, the lovely filly too, Drisana, but she'll be more over further. And then the colts obviously ran significantly slower, different race structure, but the Gary Portelli horse, Sejadan, had trialled pretty well, as had Emperor. And it was only at the last minute that picked up that he'd had a name change, and because he'd trialled very well, but they ran first and third, but they're a long way off the speed of the filly.
How did you see the two-year-olds there yesterday, Brendan?
Yeah, she just showed us what she'd showed us at the trials, didn't she, Coolangatta? She looked super there, and she backed it up there yesterday. She knew what she was there to do, thought she was really good. Said your dad ducking and weaving back through. Jason Collett cleaned up a few to the outside. A bit of a chain reaction there when he was launching his bid late, but they seem a little bit more even, that the bunch of the boys, compared to Coolangatta. She's got a fair bit on her filly rivals at the moment.
Terrific days racing around Australia yesterday. Call sign Mav winning in New Zealand. He's heading to Danny O'Brien now to take on the Cox Plate. Let's get the boys' thoughts on racing around Australia yesterday.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Dino, all we need is another grand promenade from you in terms of a horse to follow. How did you see yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know if I've got one of them, Warren, but I'll go with Incentivise as the run of the day, and I think, I don't know if he'll win the Derby, but I think Gunstock will win one of the lead-ups coming through. So certainly want to be on him next start, I think, Gunstock.
Now, it's not time to go yet. A couple of requests via SMS. Firstly, the regular, looking for a winner today, Bairnsdale and Bendigo.
Yeah, I'm still working on Bairnsdale, but Bendigo, I thought there was a bit of a value chance. There's a lot of odds-on favourites and short favourites at Bendigo today, but I'm going to go to race 6, number 7, Lucas the Younger. I quite like this horse, and I think soft ground and the big track will really suit him. So we'll go with race 6, number 7, each way, Lucas the Younger.
Had time to come up with a thought in the arc?
Not yet, and no, Carl's let me down.
No, and one wondering if you can get Brussels sprouts on the menu at Subway.
No, I got beetroot over the line. I'm not getting Brussels sprouts.
Great work, Dino. Look forward to your contribution right through the week.
Beauty. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan Delaney, what are we looking forward to on Sunday Central with those meetings that at Bendigo and Bairnsdale, no doubt high on the priority list?
Most certainly so. We're going to have a chat with Matt Kamani. He's sending a couple to Bendigo today. Harry White will join me to preview that program. Trav Noonan to take us through Bairnsdale. Full previews today for the Sunshine Coast. And also we will go to Ballina. Matt Dunn, we're going to have a chat to there. Ian Humphreys will take us through the Ballina card, and then we'll get stuck into the Greyhounds before we get to Nadia Horn and Port Lincoln, their first meeting of the season. Rob Orber to take us through the trots at Cranbourne, and George Ferugia will preview the Greyhounds at Sandown Park. So plenty happening before we get to the preview at Bairnsdale at 5 minutes to 12.
I'm eating your time. I better ask you how you wrap up yesterday.
Horse to follow, Charlie Rose. Dino mentioned yesterday Geelong Cup might be on the radar for her. If that's the case, I think she'll be winning that. Run of the day, Private Eye, hard to miss a fast finishing effort at the back end of a big mile race in Sydney, and he might have let Dino down, Warren, but a secret little line to Carlos Tanoa is his tip for the arc, number 4 there at around $4.40 at the moment. So if you're staying up and looking for one to follow, that might be the one.
Hoping that is the one. I'm going with Incentivise as the run of the day, and Mystic Journey, she's right on target for the Empire Rose following that terrific win yesterday. She's my horse to follow and the race that she's likely to be aimed at. That takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Brendan Delaney, Sunday Central.